Hey, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the 7 Energetic Ways to View Change in Your Life. Before we get into tonight's topic, I'd like to briefly introduce myself so you have a perspective of who I am and how I came to this point in my life. My life has gone through a series of significant changes in the last 6 years, and if I had to select a turning point, it would have been just short of my 50th birthday on March 17, 2005. That day, at that time, I was actually working for Prudential Financial. I was a project manager, and I'd been there for 30 years, and for all intents and purposes, had figured that I would be doing that type of work probably for a few more years before retiring about somewhere between 55 to 60 years of age. That day, when I came home from work, I learned from my wife, Jean, that the reoccurrences of her breast cancer had come back, and this time they were in the liver. And that point really started to make changes, certainly on both of our lives. In the case of Jean, obviously she went through several months of treatment, and while I was her caregiver, and again, we both try to get her to live as much life as she could, but at the same time, we were also going through the treatments for her. She was with me for 17 more months after St. Patrick's Day and passed in August of 2006. That changed my life in that when I did go back to work about a month later, I did function pretty well, but I certainly was looking at work a lot differently than I had before, and in particular, when people were making different issues, life and death issues in meetings and all, I certainly just didn't have the same attitude towards that. And so I definitely was starting to look at my corporate position a lot differently. During 2007, it became pretty obvious when we were doing our 2008 budget that there would need to be staff reduction. And as we kind of went through what those reductions needed to be, we also realized we'd probably need one less manager in our area. And after giving this, things a lot of thought, I went to my boss and I let her know if it was possible that I was willing to be one of those who was let go when she did the staff reductions. And after some initial hesitation, she understood that it was time for me to move on, and I received a retirement buyout in early 2008. At that time, I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to do, but after the first half of 2008 passed, I moved on from my corporate position, and I actually had some outplacement service work. And there, when I was working with the outplacement people, they had asked me what I'd like to do in my job, and I mentioned them in particular. I love the people interaction pieces, and I also love the staff development aspect. And they started talking to me about a career in coaching. In particular, they mentioned the discipline of coaching and life and career coaching. I did some research on that topic. I found some schools that I had an interest in pursuing that topic with, and I wound up attending the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching, and I completed my certification in July of 2009. At that same time, while I was, basically getting my certification and also subsequently starting a business, I also, through the influence of a good friend, began dating again. I met a woman, a school teacher, who shared many of my same interests. We dated, became engaged in early 2009, were married in late 2009. And then my marriage even led to another change in my life, where I had to move from my prior hometown to my wife's hometown, and we've established our residence there. So if I had to kind of summarize my life, especially over the last several years, I faced the following major changes in my life. I had a death of a spouse. I lived as a widower. I left the first career. I went back to school for training. I started a new business. I dated. I remarried. I moved to another location after having lived where I did previously for 20 years. And all that occurred in a 3.5-year period. So as a result, I'm fairly well versed on this topic of change. In fact, change can still continue with me because I'm in the process of selling my previous residence, and I'm actively building my business. Again, like I said, I provide you this background so you kind of get some idea of, you know, basically how change has impacted my life. And as we go through the rest of the material tonight, how some of what I've even learned has helped shape how I've moved forward with my life. Where I'd like to start with the material, before we actually get into the seven perspectives that I'm about to share with you, I want to give you a little background where those even come from. First of all, they actually start from a book I read about 2 years ago when I was doing my training. The name of the book was Energy Leadership, and it was written by a man named Bruce D. Schneider, who was the founder of the coaching school that I went to, IPEC. Bruce had done over 20 years of research on the topic of individuals and also how human behavior in individuals work. And what he determined was that human beings approach everything they do in their everyday life from a level of consciousness, or what you could also be termed awareness. He called that consciousness energy. And within every human being, there is an inner energy, and that's kind of manifested in that human being through their thought process for any activity that they're faced doing, and outer energy, and that's how they emotionally react to things they do or the behaviors they show when they perform the task. Bruce went on to further define that there are seven different levels of energy at which individuals focus their thoughts and in turn how they live their life. You're going to learn that two of those levels are termed catabolic. And that term catabolic comes from science. It really talks about when something is breaking down. Or, in fact, another analogy of it is when you would think of something being torn apart or eaten apart, almost being cannibalized. The opposite term for catabolic is anabolic. That would be when you're talking about something being built up, getting stronger, building together. When you think of that in terms of a person, and particularly in terms of a human body, it comes through in a person's thoughts, emotions, and actions. The body itself is an energy system, and that whole energy system is governed by how an individual thinks. The body itself would love to keep the energy system in those anabolic ranges, and one of the reasons is the anabolic ranges are far healthier. However, we have a lot of different thoughts that go through us, and catabolic thoughts do cross our mind. They produce negative or unhealthy energy in our body. Those unhealthy energies actually show themselves up as stress, worry, pain, and anything you can think of that puts you in a bad feeling position. The body, if left to itself, would choose only to be in optimally anabolic situations. However, when a person's thought process brings negative thoughts to the body and does so on a continual basis, it ultimately wears a person down. It can even show itself up in the form of disease. So how does one basically kind of, you know, either move from catabolic to anabolic thoughts or avoid catabolic thoughts? Well, one of the things is, that, and how Bruce presented it in his material, is they try to, or they look to shift their energy. They try to shift their thought process and move from the more negative type thoughts to the more positive type thoughts. You know, again, while it may not always be possible to completely minimize the more negative thoughts, being aware that you're having them, being aware of the impact they're having on you, and in turn, looking to look at your life situation from a positive viewpoint is one way you can move yourself forward energetically and in turn help you to accomplish more in terms of your life. So you got to remember that when you have catabolic or negative thoughts, your body is actually breaking down, where when you have anabolic thoughts, it's actually building up or giving you those reserves you need to accomplish what you'd like. As I mentioned, there are seven levels of energy or consciousness. In a given day, a person will have, you know, probably experience different thought processes throughout the day that will go up and down between those energy levels. Your overall energy level for the day is called your average resonating level of energy, or your ARL. And the best way to think of an ARL is it's like a stock in the stock market. During a trading day, the stock's price might go up, it might go down, but at the end of the day, there's an average price that you've had for that stock for the day and which the stock is traded. And basically, it's the same way with energy. At the end of the day, you've had negative points, you've had high points, and you have an overall average of how you're spending your day and living your life. At any given moment, you're somewhere in those seven energy levels in your life. And your current state of, you know, thoughts basically not only encompass what you went through today, but what you went through yesterday, the day before, in fact, frankly, what you've experienced over your entire life. Think of things this way. The more thoughts that you have that are catabolic or negative, the more likely that your average resonating level is going to be lower on the scale of 1 to 7. However, if you begin to have a more positive perspective and bring more positive thoughts into your mind, you're going to be raising your average resonating level. So, and another thing to keep in mind, too, is negative energy or negative thoughts are very, very powerful. So, for example, even if you have a small number of them in a day, even if you have predominantly positive thoughts, you have a small number of negative ones, it's still going to have an impact on you. And I think a way to look at this is, think if you had a great day, like let's say you went to dinner with a friend, you saw the show, you know, went out and about, and then on the way home, either you got stuck in traffic or your public transportation was late. And when you got home and somebody asked you how was the day, if you were still focused on being caught in the traffic or the public transportation being late and you really were dwelling on it, you would actually be putting yourself in more of a negative situation energy-wise than based on how your whole day went. So, again, that negative energy can have an impact on you. Now, this concept of energy and energy leadership and how energy affects your body affects any aspect of your life. But what I've chosen to do for this presentation tonight is to actually focus it on how individuals view change. What I'm going to introduce to you in the next few minutes is seven levels, their characteristics, and how people view change in their life. Two of the levels are catabolic or negative. As we move through the different levels, you're going to see a movement from a focus of strictly being thinking from a me perspective to ultimately a other person perspective to a perspective of including everybody. The lower level energies are very ego-focused. They're, again, very, very much focused on the individual. Let me say also, too, before we get into the details, that no energy level being defined here is either being defined as good or bad. There's even benefits at the lower energy levels in the catabolic ranges. For example, if you didn't have catabolic energy, if a truck was coming at you as you're going, as you're crossing the street, and you didn't react with concern and fright and, you know, knowing you had to get out of the way, you basically, if you were just figuring everything was wonderful, may not look to get out of the way of that truck. So there are benefits to the lower level energies. In addition, they give you a perspective of what good feelings are about. So that you have them as a contrast. So, again, remember, you have the choice on how you decide to apply the energy levels in your life and every decision that you make. Ultimately, you control your thoughts. You control your emotions and behaviors and how you choose to react to things. Others may, you know, impact you. They may influence, you know, your behavior and how you react, but they don't control you. You control yourself in terms of the feelings and emotions that you have. I'm at this point going to unmute the lines in case there's any questions. So I'm going to open up the lines. If there's any questions, please feel free to speak up as soon as I tell you the lines are muted. Okay, the lines are unmuted. Are there any questions on the overall concept of energy leadership?
No, you have to explain it, you know.
Okay. Everything. All right, so it sounds like there isn't. So I'm going to remute the line, and we're going to start into the seven level.
Okay.
Conference muted.
Okay. The very first level is known as level one, and that's the victim level. And the perspective at level one is, I can't change. This is the way I've always been and will always be. When people operate at this level, and this is the lowest level of energy, they accept their situation as a victim. They blame themselves for what's wrong in their life, and they live with a lot of guilt and a lot of negative emotion. Sometimes they even get so down, they have an absence of emotion. They're completely apathetic. They don't want to do anything. The person at this level takes all emotion personally. They feel like they're being persecuted for their mistakes and other people's mistakes, and they usually keep their feelings and opinions to themselves. Obviously, this is certainly a catabolic level of energy, because your thoughts and your feelings are based strictly on guilt, fear, worry, self-doubt, and low self-esteem. Emotionally, level one energy feels very bad, and the amount of desire, engagement that you have is very low accordingly. We all actually experience level one energy at times and in some aspect of our life. So it is actually very, very normal. However, because it's normal doesn't mean it's required. With assistance and commitment to move forward to something different, you can replace that level one energy with more of what you really want. In relation to making a change in one person's life, a person who has level one energy toward a change will likely feel some of the following. They're going to say to themselves, I don't want to try something here because it's only going to lead to failure or rejection, that I am powerless, that I'm not capable, no one cares or listens to me, why bother, nothing changes. How does one move away from level one energy? Well, I'm going to mention a phrase here that you're going to find is a key motivating factor on a lot of decisions a person makes. And its acronym is WIIFM, and that stands for What's in it for me? No one ever truly committed to making any change in their life or trying something different until they're able to have the answer to that question. What's in it for them? What are they going to get gain from it? So once you're tired, once you've had enough of being the victim, then and only then are you going to move to a different level of energy. Now, how might you go about moving? Well, there's three basic ways to go about it. The least effective is actually trying to focus on changing your behaviors. You might try to do something differently, and do it differently than you have before. One of the reasons that this is sometimes the least effective way is that it doesn't always stay as a permanent type of change. You basically try, you get started, but then you tend to fall back into the old pattern and all. While there's a positive in trying to do things a different way, because you may even start seeing some different results, and they might encourage you to move on forward, their behavior really doesn't necessarily change until you also can change how you think about things and how you react to things. So if behavior isn't, the best of ways, what happens when you change or focus on your emotions? Certainly focusing on your emotions and changing them are more effective than trying to shift your behaviors through, as a way to get buy-in to changing things. Among ways that you can shift your emotions are you start creating a feeling of excitement or enthusiasm for what you're doing. Sometimes you may try to use relaxation techniques, such as taking a walk, doing anything physical, getting a massage, taking a nice swim, something along those lines. And some people actually keep track of their emotions by keeping a little journal and identifying when their moods occur and what might have triggered one mood over another. So again, focusing on the emotions certainly is better than behaviors. It is a key approach in helping you move to more positive ways of doing things, and they do help you put you in a better frame of mind. However, the most effective way to start affecting sustainable change is to focus on your thought process. This is easily the most effective way to shift your energy, because it gets to the root cause of what's causing your emotions and how you're reacting. It's also very challenging to do, because a lot of times your thought process has been so ingrained in you for a long period of time. So it takes a true commitment to really want to be focused on changing how you think or view of a situation. When you're able to accomplish it, though, it's very, very effective. Basically, what happens with a different thought process, you have an entirely different perception on any issue that's facing you. And that, in turn, directly leads to a shift in consciousness, in your energy, and in the power that you have. So that's the level one victim level. The second level of energy, and it also too is catabolic, is what's called the conflict level. The conflict level kind of comes from something of this type of perspective, what I call perspective two. Why should I change? What I've done has always worked for me. Just because the world around me is different, why should that impact me? Notice one of the things at this level is people who are at this level of energy are focused on being angry. They're sometimes afraid. They're sometimes blaming others or blaming themselves for their life or for their past or for any negative thoughts or emotion. Usually, if you're living your life at level two, you're usually not very happy. You're not very fulfilled or emotionally satisfied. One thing, certainly compared to level one, you obviously tend to care more about things. That basically a level one person isn't even trying. The level two person is trying, but they're trying, but they're fighting their way through things. They constantly look at any situation and basically ask themselves, what's wrong? What's going wrong? What's wrong? What's going on now? Why is everything going wrong? They don't feel like they're contributing, and they certainly don't feel appreciated. Often they feel like they're taken advantage of. And they usually have anger at others, anger at themselves, but they are willing to do something about it. Like I say, it's a negative level of energy. The level two mindset kind of works as something as the follows. The only way I'm going to succeed is if someone else around me doesn't succeed or loses. That for me to win or me to move forward, somebody else has to lose. When you have a boss who is at a level two state of energy, it really plays havoc on the staff, because basically that boss is getting everything they want by force or coercion. Generally speaking, they wind up ultimately draining down the staff, and they wind up draining themselves. Person with level two energy will feel some of the following. They're going to say to themselves, life is hard. It's one fight after another. I've got to protect myself. I've got to control all aspects of my life. Life is disappointing. I'm justified for reacting the way I am. And most of all, it's your fault, pointing to others or circumstances around them. So how does one move for out of level two energy? Again, going back to the what's in it for me perspective, they start moving forward by looking to do two things. One, they start seeing that the impact of a level two energy is having on them is not good for their health. It's not good for their sense of well-being and all. And they say they want to make a change and get out of those feelings. Also, they realize they're a person in pain, and that can be both physically and emotional pain. They basically, to start moving forward, need to start talking about that pain to others or maybe even writing out their feelings of why they're feeling that pain. The key is they want to try to move on to the concept of moving past the anger. They have to start accepting responsibility for change in their life. And basically that change is not going to happen because of somebody else. It's going to happen or has to happen with them. There's no way they're going to change how another person does things, but that they can change how they react to things. Certainly, a person with level two energies is certainly allowed to vent. And the venting does help them release anger, especially if they don't turn it on themselves or other people. But what the level two person needs to do, especially if they want to start moving forward, is start developing a new thought process that is less focused on just their feelings and start getting more focused on the feelings of all those that are around them. So at this point, I'm going to unmute the line again to see if there's any questions, because before we move on to the more anabolic choices, I wanted to see if there's any questions in particular on the catabolic reaction. So I'm going to unmute the line at this point. Are there any questions about catabolic energy or any of either of the two levels?
No, I don't have any.
Okay. All right. Then I'm going to mute the line again and move back on. We're going to get into start getting into the anabolic levels of energy.
Conference muted.
Okay. When a person moves on from level two to level three energy basically can be summed up in the word responsibility. Other words around this are forgiveness or cooperation. And basically, a level three perspective is one of, if I need to change, I will, but only in those ways that are most comfortable for me. Level three is the beginning of where you start bringing anabolic or positive energy in your life. At level three, you may still blame other people, but you start rationalizing about their behavior. And so as a result, you're willing to forgive them, and that helps you release your catabolic energy. You may also blame yourself, but you start rationalizing the way you're acting. And rationalization is very much a coping mechanism. At this level, you're generally looking to start seeking peace initially for yourself and for the relationships that you have around you. You're looking to repair any damage in those relationships. One of the things that happens sometimes at level three is because you're in the process of trying to basically make yourself happier or more comfortable, you may try also to fix the other person. Although that in and of itself doesn't work because only they really have control of their emotions and thoughts. At level three, people start taking responsibility for their thoughts, their emotions, and their actions. They know that what they think and feel is up to them. It's not based on what the other person thinks. A person at level three is trying to get their, trying to get their way, and they're happy if the other person gets what they want also. However, if the other person doesn't get what they want, but the person at level three gets what they want, they're fine with that situation. As long as they're getting what they want, it's fine or not. It doesn't matter to them what happens with the other person. Like I say, at this level, you're a master of rationalization. You're motivated to find ways to cope. And basically, you're looking for ways to explain the negative feelings in your life. In relation to the topic of change, a level three person will probably show some of the following characteristics. Life is what you make of it. overcome one hurdle after another. Have a good plan, but do it only if you're sure it'll work. And I'm sure I convinced them to see it my way. You basically are trying to persuade people. Why would one want to, if they got to this level, maybe want to move to a higher level? Level three people are usually under pressure due to the fact that they're still looking at everything in a very judgmental way. And they're still completely focused on themselves. Again, everything that I've mentioned is based on them feeling good and not really caring how the other person feels. They basically, you know, have started to release judgment and all, but they want to, you know, to move out of level three, you really have got to start taking a perspective of not only looking at benefit for yourself, but benefit or value to others. Level three people who, generally speaking, aren't able to do this, aren't able to start thinking of others, have a very good tendency of being vulnerable, of slipping back into anger, which is the level two energy, because they're, you know, they become more self-centered, and they, as a result, aren't thinking of how to improve this situation for both them and another person. So level three is an important level. It's a transition level to the higher energy levels. It's also a state where you say, okay, things are good enough. They're not good, they're not bad, but they're good enough. It's when you want to move past this point of basically things being better than good enough that you're now more open to exploring even higher energy levels than the first three levels. When one decides to move from level three and move upward, one of the first stops is usually level four. And level four is a level of concern for others. Person who's at level four completely is focused on the feelings of the other person and really puts the other people's feelings before their own. And a good perspective for level four is saying it somewhat as follows in, as regards to change. By making and accepting this change, things will become better for those around me. Like I said, level four energy frees us to completely focus on others. At this level, you don't take personally anything that's happening to you. You have a deep compassion for what others do and who they do it with. And you actually do seek to fix everything that's going on around you. And actually, the big negative at level four is when you try to fix everything, you can get upset if things around you are going badly for others and you can't fix them. It's a moderately anabolic level. It's a level of caring. It's the caregiver. It's the support level. It's basically, that, like I say, you're trying to meet everybody else's needs first. If you're doing things from a level four energy, but you're expecting to get something really paid back in return, you're really operating at a level one, two, or three energy in disguise. So if you feel you're expressing concern for others, but you're expecting payback, you're truly not at level four. Basically, your satisfaction comes from seeing others succeed. It basically comes, you get inspired by serving others. In terms of the topic of change, ways that level four people may express it, that the purpose of a person in life is to give to others and to offer help. That the purpose is to make the world a better place. That there's always something they can do to be a better person. And there's always something they can strive to do for everyone in their life. One place where a level four person can stress themselves out, like I said before, is feeling the need to fix things for others. That's because they judge the other person's needs as being more important than their own. What basically happens with a level four who wants to avoid burnout and falling back into one of the other three levels is basically they need to start learning to move from a attitude of you to more of a focus of a we attitude. that's very helpful for them. That helps them to actually start not only still being anabolic and productive, but at the same time, it helps for them to, in turn, really bring other people into the process, including themselves. Like I say, when the person moves out of level four to one of the higher levels, they start beginning to release judgment in their life. They start beginning to release fear or doubt. That's part of their life, and they become, like I say, less prone to falling back to the other level. The next level of anabolic energy, and it's kind of tied with the levels three and four because it's considered part of a self-mastery level, is level five, and that's basically the level known as reconciliation. Level five reconciliation is one where basically you're looking for the we being successful, not just me, not just you. In fact, it's got to be the we. It's got to be both of us in order for you to be, consider a situation successful. So, for example, a level five perspective would be changing our approach to this situation provides opportunities for all of us to succeed and move forward. Level five people basically are able to reconcile what's right and what's wrong. They, instead of looking to fix things, look to create opportunities from whatever happens. So even if a bad situation occurs, and they'll acknowledge the bad situation, they're still looking at, okay, what's the opportunity out of this, and how can we move forward that everybody benefits? They are people that are generally great thinkers, and one of the things that can happen, they can get very caught up in their thought process, and sometimes they do lose a sense of the emotional feelings that others around them have. Level five people always look at a situation from a what's right with it instead of what's wrong with it perspective. They love challenges, and they love to fix problem situations. They don't usually like to get involved in details, but instead they come, like I say, with that higher level thought process. Their core thought is on reconciling, accepting differences in everybody, and not trying to get people to change. Basically, if a level five person senses that somebody's not going to benefit from a situation or an issue or a problem, they will not go forward and implement a solution that way. They have to feel that everyone is benefiting from a problem or situation that's taking place. Our people who live at this level are usually very calm. They're very powerful. They have a sense of inner peace and fulfillment. And they also truly enjoy their life experience. What does happen if a level five person does get emotionally involved and get angry, they can very easily slip back from showing level five energy to level two energy, particularly if they get frustrated with those around them. But the true level five, the level five is looking at the opportunities. Basically speaking, is a very, very calm individual. In relation to the topic of change, a level five person believes life offers us opportunity after opportunity. You only have to open your eyes to see them. Everything always works out for the best, even if you don't see it at the time. I only win if you win, and I continually get better and better. If there's usually one thing, like I say, about this thought level, is the people at this level usually lack emotion because they're very big into thinking. As a result, what they do sometimes lose perspective on is they're so focused on a solution that they tend to less and less really start to really enjoy the process of what they're doing. So as a result, one of the things many times level fives need to consider if they want to even feel even more freedom in their life is that they've got to move from trying to solve all the problems and more basically start just enjoying the activities that are going on around them and get more focused on just enjoying the process of the change itself. Okay, levels 3, 4, and 5, or energy levels 3, 4, and 5, perspectives 3, 4, and 5, like I say, are the self-mastery levels. They're generally the ones that people who tend to operate from a positive viewpoint in life tend to fall into. I'm going to basically unmute. I'm going to unmute the conference at this time to see if there's any questions about level 3, 4, or 5 perspectives of energy. So I'm going to unmute right now. Hey, any questions? How does this stuff, how does this material make sense to those on the call?
Well, I couldn't hear that. What did you ask?
How does this material make sense to those on the call?
Oh, no, I've had change training before in we're at work. And, yeah, no, this is definitely a review of what we've had. Yeah, I definitely know the what's in it for me and the levels, yeah. No,
okay.
It definitely makes sense, yeah.
Oh, great, okay. So you've had some familiarity with it before.
Yes, I have had change management courses, yeah.
Okay, very good. Anybody else?
This is the first time I've heard of this.
Okay, and what's your impression?
I'm definitely not on the higher levels.
Well, okay, but again, you know, as it is,
mm-hmm.
about 85% of people tend to live at the level 2 level. So there's a lot of company at that level. It does take a real commitment, especially on a continual basis, to focus on it. But it you know, again, one of the things I would hope is that it offers an awareness that there are other ways, other approaches to looking at things. Not always easy to implement, but that there are ways to go about implementing, you know, about how of looking at things. So thank you for that admission. I really appreciate that.
Well, I also, as you were speaking, I was writing, you know, like this chart down, you know, so I could see that, you know, the different levels that you can progress to. So this will be very helpful for me.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things I do have is I actually have the chart as a handout that I got in my classes, and I'm more than willing, if you'd like a copy, if you wanted to, just let me know, and I'll be happy to send one to you.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Okay, very good.
Thanks.
Anybody else before I mute the call again? Okay, I'm going to put it back on mute.
Conference muted.
Okay. The final two levels definitely move from a mindset of being focused on accomplishing a task and basically being successful with a change to ones that are definitely more what they call a self-transcendence level. Basically, that means that the focus on the change, the focus on what you're doing, is more to enjoy the experience and to be less focused and less judgmental of the result. Level 6 is known as a synthesis level. And a level 6 perspective is change is always a way to experience new thoughts, ways, and approaches to accomplishing goals and tasks. Like I said, energy level 6 focuses on bringing together forces to create power through partnership. It's basically realizing that as you make or experience anything in your life or make changes in your life, that you're connected. What you're doing is connected to others around you, be they people you know or even people you don't know. That there's nothing good or bad, nothing to improve, that this is a very much a level of intuition, that your intuition comes more to life at this level. When one is experiencing life at this level of energy, they are easygoing and flexible. They're not interested so much in being right, so much as basically making sure that others are kept happy. They are basically also fine with within their own relationships and all occurrences, and they enjoy every aspect of their life without judgment. It's a very highly anabolic level. And frankly, it's one, and much like it and in level seven, are ones where it is difficult to live at this type of a level consistently, because it's a very visionary level. It is a very, very high level where you're many times just focused in thought and not on actual action. But it is a level that people can tap into. It's a level where if you can take a step back and actually just think through how you want to have a change in vision, or how you want something to happen, that it can give you the energy to go back as you actually implement the change to realize what parts of the whole experience you're going to want to enjoy. Everything that happens at this level is happening for a purpose or value. Again, remember, there's no judgment of good or bad. So even if the results aren't everything you want, you're really enjoying the change for the actual experience of it. It's definitely a long-sighted view instead of a short-sighted view of life. And basically, that there's a purpose in everything that happens. And that's how the level six energy or person with level six energy believes. They basically are looking for a permanent sense of pleasure, satisfaction, and joy. Give you an idea of things that the level six person believes: that life itself is a wonderful opportunity, that the purpose of life is to live an experience, that they don't look at things as good or bad, things are just are, that there's power in partnerships, that we can all create miracles, that life cannot be won or lost, it only can be played. Like I say, level six and level seven energy, and we're going to get to seven in a minute, are rare, and it's very rare for anybody to live in them on a consistent basis. They are ones that can be tapped into when a person really is committed to focusing on a situation. And like I say, they're definitely looking at everybody as a whole and non-judgmental. Again, they're more of anything that to be aware of in terms of a state of life. If six is the synthesis level, seven is the true non-judgmental level. A level seven perspective, when I say non-judgmental, is life and the experience of life are continually changing, which is neither good or bad. It just is. Like I say, level seven energy is strictly non-judgmental, and it means you have absolute passion for what you're doing. It's actually a level of creation. It's a level where one basically creates, observes, and experiences everything around them all at the same time. You're not interested in any reward. You're not interested in anything other than the joy of the activity. Your passion is basically for life itself. Level 7 energy people have feelings of unconditional love. They completely accept other people. They're so absorbed in their own thoughts that a person who's even tapping into level 7 energy can often be seen as aloof or uncaring, because they're really in a meditative state. It's definitely the highest level of energy. It's completely anabolic. It's, like I say, completely non-judgmental, and you're fearless at that level. No human being really resonates at this level on a continual basis. It's strictly a level that people, if they so desire, so choose, they can tap into. And again, a reason to tap into it is basically, it's actually, as much as anything, a relaxation level to basically get you to a point of realizing that there's really no good or bad in life. There's no right or wrong. There's unconditional love. It's really our true nature of being, and that the purpose of life itself sometimes is not even known. When you're at this level, it's, again, about sharing experiences, brainstorming ideas. You don't have necessarily goals or what have you. Again, it's all an experiential level. So I'm going to unmute the recording for the last time tonight. I'm going to, at that point, ask if there's any question on any of the seven levels. And then what I'd like to do is basically finish up with some summary and conclusions and also some other items that I'd want to make you aware of about absolute transition. So, again, I'm going to unmute the recording at this time. Okay, you've now been exposed to these seven levels of energy. Any questions on not only energy levels 6 and 7, but any of the energy levels or the process in general?
I guess you're saying basically number 7 is the best place to be, obviously.
Well, again, any one is a choice. 7 is truly the state of being in complete spirituality. It's literally being in a state of, in all honesty, it's being in a state of where you would say that you're almost above the human condition. And I would even use the term feeling no pain.
And that's somebody who nothing bothers them at all in life, basically. Am I reading that right?
You're reading it right. I mean, again, when somebody is truly at that state, they usually speaking are very, very meditative, which particularly what happens when you start working activities is you do get involved in the details of activities and all. So usually the level 7 is one of just a straight thought process. Good question. Very good question. Thanks. Mm. Any other questions?
Hey, Tony.
Yes.
In terms of the levels, if you put it, let's say, on a graph, it's not necessarily a straight, you know, like a straight diagonal line going from 1 at the bottom up to 7. Isn't it more like a curve as you start getting like the 4 and 5, like 6 and 7? Well, yeah, they're better than definitely better than being 1 or 2.
Well, actually,
you kind of gravitate a little bit away from reality when you're at 6 and definitely at 7. I think there's kind of a trade-off where you kind of like go overdoing it.
Okay. Actually, the way that I have, that, and I spoke about it before in terms of having it pictorial represented, it's
right.
Actually represented almost in a circular format. That if you were to envision a color-coded target, and that the lower levels are towards the inner part of the target, and that they in turn have those feelings of self and ego and all. And then you go out to an outer level beyond that, that's where you get into the 3, 4s, and 5s, where you have your levels of responsibility, concern for others and all, and they'll call that level self-mastery. And then really look at the 6 and 7 levels as the outermost circle and call that self-transcendence. That's really how it was pictorially done by Bruce Schneider. But it relates to what you're saying, showing the distinction between those levels. And then the other thing, too, and I do want to make this clear, is while people many times go through the levels one by one, it's not out of the question. You could bounce from one back to another, depending on the circumstances of what happens to you during the day.
Well, I almost think you have to. It's just because I don't think anyone can live in just one level their whole life.
It's just by logic. Not only in our whole life, it's doubtful you could live in one level the whole day.
Sure.
I mean, again, like I said before, usually during the course of a day even,
mm-hmm.
you go through the levels all over the place, and at the end of the day, you're probably at an average resonating level. In fact, one of the things I'll talk about in the summary and conclusions is ways to even get a sense of how you are actually resonating on average, because there's even been assessments done for that. So.
Right.
Any other questions?
You know, what I was saying, Michael's definitely on the right track. I think any human being would be a combination of things here. You know, I don't think there's many people that would look at these seven levels and say, that's what I am, you know, all the time, you know. But I think you raised a very good point that even on a daily basis, you know, it would be a rare day to say you're one of these, for say, even 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to ask you something else, Anthony. You, this is obviously on change, correct?
Yes.
Well, one thing I thought you were going to mention was, I'm sure you've heard of it, that book, Who Moved My Cheese? You know.
Yeah, I have heard of it. I haven't read it in a while. It was a while back. But
that probably covered some of this also, you know, the whole concept too, you know, accepting change and dealing with it.
Oh, yeah, no, there's definitely a lot of good books out there on the topic. As a matter of fact, I'm even in the process of starting to read one that I learned about recently called Immunity to Change, where basically that one is based on that we have built-in defenses that we've got to get past before we'd even consider making a change. So there's a number of different ones on the topic. Okay. Any other questions? Because I'd like to honor the time contract and basically close up the call and be respectful of all your time. Okay, then I'm going to, I'll tell you what, I'm going to leave the line unmuted because in case there's any questions on the last part of the summary here. And at the end of the summary and conclusions, if there are any last questions, please feel free to ask them. So what would I have hoped you've learned from this teleseminar? Number one, you have a choice. In fact, you have several choices on how you choose to experience the changes which come into your life. That hopefully you now have increased awareness of how negative emotions and thoughts impact one's overall effectiveness and ultimately finding a working, sustainable solution to a challenge that's confronting you. That sometimes even when you, if you achieve what you might term success, and again, only you can define what is success for you in terms of a challenge or an issue, that if you gain that success from one of the lower levels of energies, you might do so at an emotional price, which continues to drain at you and can also drain at those around you. Hopefully, I've helped to provide you some thoughts on how to approach issues from a higher energetic viewpoint, like, for example, at the level 5 level where you look at the opportunity in something, or a level 4 level where you look at it from the standpoint of how you might be able to help others with the situation. And also, hopefully, you've also gained some knowledge of the terms of catabolic and anabolic energy, what they are, what they may mean for you in your life, and what you view, how you may use them and view them as you go around in your everyday life. Before closing the call, I want to make you aware of a couple of other complimentary offers on the Absolute Transition website, which you can reach by typing into your email your internet browser, www.absolutetransitions.com. One of them is a 6-part electronic course that's currently up there called Overcoming Obstacles to Change in Your Life. It's a course where I introduce you to 5 different ways that you may choose to deal with conflict in your life or conflict in a relationship. You actually wind up taking it over a period of days. What happens, it comes to you in your email reader one day, and then you won't receive the next part until maybe 2-3 days later. You actually can take it at your own leisure. And it only takes a few minutes to go through each section. And it's basically one that really the benefit from it comes from the thought-provoking questions that are at the end of each module. It is absolutely complimentary on my site, and it's something that I offer to all of you. Second complimentary offer that I'm also very happy to offer folks is a 25-minute phone consultation with anyone on any change or midlife transition going on in your life. Basically, it's just a chat between you and me to share an issue you're facing and have it give you a chance to explore it. Coaches basically work from a open-ended questioning method. We basically get you to talk and kind of talk out what's going on in your life. And there's no obligation to continue a coaching relationship if you did take me up on this offer, And you can find it on the Absolute Transitions website under the free coaching session tab that's up along the upper part of the website. Also, for those of you who would like to learn more about energy leadership, which was the basis of tonight's presentation, there's a tab on Absolute Transitions website that explains it in far more detail. There is also an assessment that one can take that can basically tell them where their average resonating level of energy is. It's an assessment that takes 20 minutes to complete. It's 70 statements long, and you basically make a choice on how you presently experience your life based on the statements provided. Right now, I have a special on the Absolute Transitions website for the first 10 people who would like to sign up for the assessment. For $99, I would give them the, have them take the assessment, and they'd get a one-hour debrief of their results. Now, the assessment and the debrief is normally cost $415 on the IPEC website. That's Bruce Schneider's coaching company. But you can see there's a terrific savings that I'm offering here. And after the first 10 people sign up to take the assessment, that price for the assessment and debrief is going to go up to $129. So, again, if you are thinking about it, certainly give it a thought. And also, if you're thinking about it and you're not sure if you want to take it, I'll even do a free 20-minute consultation with you so to better inform you of what the assessment is like to take and so you can make a better informed decision. If you have any questions on any of the material presented tonight or any of the offers I mentioned, please, you can reach out to me at tony@absolutetransitions.com, and I'll be happy to respond to you. Again, before closing, I want to thank all of you for joining tonight's call. I hope you found it educational. I hope you found it of value as you move forward in dealing with the changes in your life. And I look forward to meeting up with you again on a future educational opportunity such as this, or if you're looking for a partner to help make your way through the changes in your life. So the first thing I'd like to ask, is there any last questions from anybody on the call?
Tony, this is Joyce.
Yes.
I had invited two of my friends. I guess they weren't able to make the call. Okay. But would they be able to take advantage of this special offer?
Oh, yeah. They'll be able to take advantage of the special offer. Mm-hmm. And in addition to, the call has been recorded. So
okay.
If they did sign up, they are going to also get an email of the recording. So,
okay.
So they'd be able to do that, too.
Yeah, I don't know if they were able to sign up because I kind of told them, kind of too late. But,
all right. Well, again, if they are interested in the offers, yes, Joyce, they are more than welcome, and just point them to the Absolute Transitions website.
All right. Yeah, I've been trying to point people to your
services. I appreciate that. Again, I appreciate all of you taking the time tonight to. Listen in on the call. All right. Any
Thank
last
you.
Question? All right. So with that, yes?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Okay. So with that, I'd like to wish you all a good night, and you have a pleasant rest of your evening. So again, thank you for being on the call.
Well, thanks for the invite, Tony.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Tony.
Good night, everybody.
All right. Bye.
Good night, Dale.
Okay.